Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ Culp, as always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. What's up, Brad?
You know, I think that's the hardest question that you ask me on the show.
What's up, Brad?
What's up? Yeah. I'm horrible at small talk. I'm like, the ceiling.
Directionally, Brad, what is up?
Yeah. There's a light up above me.
Well, see, here's the weird part about that question, though. If you take it in its full literal context, up is only relative to you, because up on the other side of the planet is, in fact, down.
Yeah. My hair forgot what up was and fell down relative to me.
Mine's slowly but surely working on that. Yeah. For the viewers on YouTube, I'll give you a close up here.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
Yep. I know. It's been there a while, but I'm good.
You know, hope you don't have the problem I have with. I got a Native American haircut. You know, Apache here and Apache there.
Oh God! I was like, you're talking about where's he scalping? Going
with this? Yeah. I knew that's where you'd go.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, listeners, you're in for a treat today because I'm starting off with a dramatic reading. All right, Tim.
Oh, Tim.
Tim.
Wow,
I'm already thinking about where our show topic. Brad, I am going to not include Tabitha on this one because, like, I'm the host of the show too, and I have a wife as well. So I'm gonna let you have to answer to yours, so I don't have to answer to mine. And I'm going to include Shira's "Oops, I Did It Again," or a student of mine submitted "I Want It That Way" by the Backstreet Boys, which in my opinion, are both fantastic.
They are both good choices. I'm trying to think through the lyrics, I kind of feel like I want you to Britney Spears it though.
All right, "Oops, I Did It Again."
Oops, I did it again.
Let's look up those lyrics here. Oh my goodness! Pull them over here.
All for you, Shara.
That's right. All right. As is typical, I'll go ahead and crank that music.
Time for silly songs. It's time for dramatic readings.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh, baby. It might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. 'Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Oh, baby. Oops, I did it again.
This may be the most uncomfortable that I've been since you've been doing dramatic readings.
I played with your heart.
Pretend you're talking to Shara.
Got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby. Oops. You think I'm in love. That I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent. You see, my problem is this. I'm dreaming away, wishing that heroes, they truly exist.
Let you know I'm playing this on half speed so you sound drunk while you're reading it.
I sound drunk, that's right. I cry watching the days. Can't you see I'm a fool in so many ways?
I don't think I even knew this song had lyrics. Other than, oops. Yeah,
but to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me. Oh, baby. Oh. Oops. I did it again. I played with your heart. I got lost in the game. Oh, baby. Baby. Oops. You think I'm in love? That I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All aboard. Brittany, before you go, there's something I want you to have. Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute, isn't this... Yeah. Yes, it is. But I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the end. Well, baby, I went down and I got it for you. Aw.
Cracking myself up. Imagine you, DJ, is a geriatric guy who's pooped in his diaper again. The old lady did it. She dropped it in the ocean, but I went down and got it for you. You're welcome.
Oops.
Oops.
I did it again to your heart.
I did it again.
Got lost in this game, oh baby. Oops. You think that I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent. Oops. I did it again. I played with your heart, got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby. Oops. You think I'm in love? That I'm sent from above? I'm not that innocent. Oops. I did it again. Played with your heart. Got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby.
It really just depends on the way you look at it.
Oops. You think I'm in love, that I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent.
If you watch the video, you can go back and see the exact time when my brain flipped over to thinking about you talking about being like a being a geriatric guy in adult diapers and soiling yourself. So it'll be subtle. It'll be
That would
subtle,
be.
but you'll see it. You'll see the smirk.
Well, you might see the smirk. It depends.
Yeah, maybe I'll do it again for your serenity.
Brad, you didn't pick up on the joke.
No, I did.
Oh,
Serenity is
okay.
another. Serenity is another brand of.
Oh, I
Serenity is
didn't know
another
that.
brand of.
I'm the one who didn't pick up
You
on
didn't
the
pick up
joke.
on the
I
joke,
didn't get it.
dude. I used to work for Walgreens. I used to
You're right.
stock
Yeah,
that
you know
aisle.
all those brands. That's right. All right, Brad. Enough is enough. I'm done oopsing.
Don't want to do it again.
I don't want to do it again. Well, I mean, that song's really dumb. That song's really stupid.
I can honestly say that,
But
yeah, I thought the only lyrics were like, oops, I did it again. I played with your heart.
oh, baby, baby. All right.
Yeah.
So let's get into our topic today, Brad. Our topic is a quote from Tim Keller that, Brad, as you've mentioned, when we were talking about this, that like Tim Keller's deep. So this quote, it was something that I when I jotted it down, my thought was, huh, I wonder if it's true. And I was like, I want to have I deliberately didn't want to think too hard about it because I wanted to kind of revisit all of those thoughts, with you on the show so that you and I could really tease these out real time. But here's the quote from Tim Keller. We would never imagine that getting our heart's deepest desires might be the worst thing that ever happens to us. We would never imagine that getting our heart's deepest desires might be the worst thing to ever happen to us. So, Brad, do you want to kick this one off, or do you want me to dive into it and with my thoughts? What do you want to do?
I mean, there's so many different ways I think to look at it. I think why don't you start,
Okay.
and I'll chime
All
in.
right. Well, let me start then
I'll take
with,
over. I'll
yeah, right.
hostily
Yeah.
take over.
Yeah. Brad, let me start with not just my thought, but my thinking in relation to like my heart's deepest, what I have anyways perceived to me, my heart's deepest desires. My heart's deepest desire really has always been to be a professional drummer. And that's it. Like, not to teach, not to,
I was like, I just got one.
like,
Yeah, it's just one.
seriously, I mean,
That's it.
that's what I had wanted really to do since I was a junior in high school. It's always been my heart's deepest desire. And I mean, I like to play in stadiums, thousands upon thousands of people. And I was actually having this conversation this morning, not about performing necessarily in this depth, but with some students of mine. A student posed the question, "What inspired me to get a PhD?" And when I think about that deep desire of my heart, there's a part of me that doesn't want to believe the truth in this. But I know it is a truth that if I were to have gotten that deep desire, I know I wouldn't be the type of dad that I am. I wouldn't be the type of husband that I am.
I think that our definition is probably different with what you're saying, because like I tell people all the time that that's what you are, a professional drummer. Like you have your doctorate in drumming.
I don't have my doctorate in drumming.
I think
I have a
that,
doctorate in music education.
yeah, same thing. I think that makes you a professional drummer.
It makes me a professional. So anybody with a doctorate in music education, you're a professional drummer, according to
Yeah. Well, I
Brad.
mean, you know, it's relative.
Yeah, tomato, tomato,
You're
right?
my relative.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. I know approximately, Brad, the schedule that those guys keep. And from so many guys that I've talked to in the industry, because of the nature of the, you know, the entity that it is, it requires everything of you. Time, emotion, oftentimes like abuse of what's the word I'm thinking of like substances. Like there's so much of it in the industry. I'm not saying that it's the devil. So anybody hearing me, don't hear me saying that the music industry is where the devil lives. I mean, it's just as like, that would be just as true as saying that your area of expertise is where the devil lives too. I mean, it's not that, but, I know that the hours that are pulled, and actually really the volatility right now of the way the industry looks as compared to when even you and I were kids, Brad, I just know that all of that piled together, coming back to the quote, might be the worst thing that ever happened to me. There's a part of me that wonders, I'm not going to say, would I lose my family? I don't think that Shara and I don't think that our marriage would fall like that. But I absolutely know that it would be extreme. I don't want to say traumatically hard, but extremely hard, extremely harder than anything we've ever dealt with to balance family and work in that area. And so, I know for me, my heart may very well start to become addicted to the attention of those thousands and thousands of people that I've always wanted to play for. And I also know, Brad, that deep down, as I was mentioning this to my student this morning, God built me and wired me to teach college students. And I think that for me, my heart's desire and God's calling on my life are not the same, at least in that respect. That doesn't mean that I don't perform, right? It just simply means that the way that I've always wanted to perform is not necessarily in that sense, my calling. If that makes any, I hope that made sense.
Yeah, clears my.
Cool. Thanks.
So with the quote,
yeah.
How do you kind of interpret that in light of Psalm 37:4? Right, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm. So ask the question again.
So how do you interpret that quote in light of Psalm 37:4? You know, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
So I think that, I understand that what I'm about to say, I've seen through Shara. Mm-hmm. Listeners, if you're new to the show, Shara's my wife.
You're not new to the show. Shara,
if you're not new to the show, you knew that. Yeah, right. Yeah, Shara is still my wife. So I have seen that some of Shara's heart's desires were only hers, that they were not necessarily what God wanted for her. And again, as I mentioned, you know, my heart's desire was A, but God's calling on my life was B. Mm-hmm. Not to say that those two things are irreconcilable, but again, in the way that both of us were viewing them, they were only our own heart's desires without God's approval, without God's leadership, without God's I'm trying to think of the word for it, without God being a part of that desire. So I think Psalm
Psalm 37 4.
Sylvester, we're 20 yet.
I think Psalm 37
Papa,
4.
tall putty tat.
I
Adina,
think that
Adina.
I think it's like I like to think about and this is the nerd in me, take delight in the Lord and he will give you desires of your hearts. Like this is a it's an if then statement, right? It is a if you take the desire if you take delight in the Lord, then he will give you the desire the your heart's desires. And the, I think the underlying truth in that is that our heart's desires are to be in the Lord, and He will actually tell our heart what some of those desires should in fact be. Now, I think that can be very, I think that can be some ammunition for a skeptic saying, so God doesn't want me to be who I want to be. Actually, there's a large part of that that could be true. I even heard Rick Warren say, like as a guy let's go some, you know, monitoring for, you know, if you if adults listening to the show right now, if you have kids, might want to just either turn the volume down, scoop ahead. But I've heard Rick Warren say in a past interview that like as a guy, if he only pays attention to his impulses, then he should have sex with every single woman that he sees. But like obviously that's a that's wrong, right? That in not just in its own essence, but against it goes against obviously the Lord's will and that kind of thing. So if we delight in the Lord, then our heart's desire will basically be to, I mean, to happily take what he gives us. It's the way I kind of take
So,
that.
yeah, so you're saying, or maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, so maybe I'm saying this. Would you say that when we're delighting in the Lord, it may cause our heart's desire to change?
Yeah, it might very well.
That the thing that we thought we wanted, and I guess I would unpack it this way. Why do what are the de why do we have desires of our heart? What do we think in seeking those that that's going to do? What is it going to fulfill? Why do we want it?
Are you asking rhetorically?
Well, I'm asking either way.
Yeah.
I guess why did your heart think being a professional drummer? Why did it want that? Why was that a
Yeah.
thought?
So,
What was it trying to do to accomplish via that? Hey, if I'm a professional drummer,
yeah,
what is that?
I will get everything that I then. So for me, Brad, it is, and the older that I've gotten, the more I've been able to kind of hone in on this. I want to musically express really myself. I want to musically express how I'm interacting with the music, and I want to do that to a large audience, partially because I enjoy entertaining people in that sense. And another part of it is I like music, if you do it well, music has the potential, not when I say to inspire, I'm not necessarily talking about only about, you know, inspiring people to go pick up an instrument and learn how to do this themselves. But people that are already there and that already have skill, it inspires them. The best way that I've ever heard it put is to think about the world or to think about the way that things could be rather than just the way things are. So for me, when I hear various drummers play, I'm always thinking, ooh, that's a cool idea. Not a fan of that. I wonder if I could do this, if I could do this, how would I do this? There's, you know, just interacting with it on such a deep level. I want to be able to do that. And I also want to be able to do that on a large scale. But I also know, Brad, which is why I say, you know, which is why I mentioned you know, the schedule that's kept and all that kind of stuff. I also know that if you're going to do that on a large scale,
that it comes at a cost, and the cost is at the expense of like family. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to get married. I mean, there's plenty of people that do. And there are lots of people who get divorced and remarry and get divorced and remarry, and there's a lot of people who stay married, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But again, it's the separation. It's the again, being the kind of dad that I want to be. I know that being able to express my heart's desire in that way would come at that cost.
So sometimes God leads us away from those things that we desire because he knows that what they would bring would not be what we're expecting.
I think that's true, yeah.
I think about like growing up and they did a good job on toy commercials. They did a good job making us think, I need that toy. And, you know, if I get that toy, I'll be happy. You know, sometimes as a kid, that toy was the heart's desire. Maybe it's the toy your cousin had, you know, and it was so cool and you wanted it. And then you got that toy and it was fun until the next commercial came on. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, you have this, but do you have the accessory pack? Oh, now that thing that was my heart's desire is no longer fulfilling that desire. I need something else. I remember they had a great commercial back years ago of a guy who had a computer, and it was like he's got his computer. It's like the 5S or whatever, and he's looking at the billboard, and it's like 5S, the newest one. And he's like, yeah, he's jamming out, and as he's looking, it's a guy on the billboard that puts up 6 in place of the 5. And he's like, what? Now he went from jamming to not. And which is, you know, it's so human because he was so content until he found out he didn't have the newest one anymore. Not the biggest one. And I think, you know, again, if we're delighting in the Lord, and God is fulfilling, you know, that need, those things that we were trying to seek to fulfill, if it's being fulfilled in God. And I think, yeah, then the desire of a heart will change. And then it becomes less of a selfish desire and more of a good desire. And, you know, I think that's when God wants to give us that desire, you know. And again, that's not to say that all desires are bad.
No.
I like what Tony Evans said when he said, you know, a lot of times our desires, or a lot of times sin is our illegitimate way of fulfilling a legitimate desire. Right? I think God has wired in us,
Yeah. That's a good word, dude.
To want to receive love, to want to, I mean, he's built us for community. So we have a natural desire to want to belong, you know, to be loved, to belong, these kind of things. And so there's nothing wrong with those being fulfilled, but oftentimes we try to fulfill them the wrong way. You know, we try to do all of these things to make ourselves feel loved. And, you know, we try to change ourselves to suit other people so that we can belong because we're afraid that we'll be ostracized. I'm gonna say things that I wouldn't normally say. I'm gonna do things I wouldn't do so I can fit in.
And I think I like relating back to, you know, the my heart's desire of playing. I know that there is an enormous propensity to do just exactly that in the music industry. And I mean, you can rail about it all day long, but it's still the reality that it goes on.
And I don't, I, and understand, I'm not trying to convolute, by insinuating that like I may fall into that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I just know it's very prevalent in those areas. But what about you, Brad? Like thinking about this quote, I'll read it again for our listeners. We would never imagine that getting our heart's deepest desires might be the worst thing to ever happen to us.
I started to think back on some of the things that I asked God for, before. And like, if God had have said yes, kind of just with where I am now, looking at how that would have probably played out. And I'm glad that he said no. How many, I think a lot of us have probably been in a relationship at some point where we're like, oh Lord, let this be the one. And then in hindsight, now I go, oh,
So glad that wasn't the one
thank
thing.
you that you said no. And because obviously that would not have worked. And again, even that's not a diss to some of those people. I mean, it may be to some, but I mean, we're saying like obviously it came out that this wasn't the one for me, that we weren't as compatible, and I was all up in those emotions. Things that I wanted that I didn't get, and I look back and I go, if you'd have let me do that, I probably would have been cocky about it. I'd have been arrogant, and that's not good. It wouldn't have That wouldn't have led to good things.
And one of the things for me, I know with this deepest desire, I really do fear, Brad, that as I mentioned, I really do fear that my heart would become addicted very much. It would idolize the next gig. It would idolize the next autograph. It would idolize the next location, the next tour. I mean,
And that's one of the things too that I was when you first read the quote that I was kind of thinking and wanted to kind of mesh out a little bit was when those things become idolatry, right? Because of whatever it was. Because anything that comes between you and God is arguably idolatry there in itself,
I would
but
argue
even
that
if
too,
it,
yeah.
so if this thing, which may be a good thing, right? Because idols aren't always, they don't always start out as bad things.
You're exactly
Sometimes they're
right.
good things, take up too much. And again, I think about the guy who created Big Idea and VeggieTales, and right now I can't even think of his name. It's not important, but I heard his testimony because I don't know if if you know this, but like Big Idea was getting so big that it was starting to compete with like Disney and Pixar and those kind of things on the
No, I did not
Christian
know that.
level. There were people that were leaving those other companies and coming and working for Big Idea. I mean, and there were people that were saying, oh, this is going to be the next Disney. It was just huge. And then some things happened, and they basically lost everything. And from the standpoint, it really wasn't because they were doing stuff wrong. Matter of fact, if I understand correctly, there were some false allegations about false contracts. And, he said, I was listening to part of his testimony, basically they were taken to court and sued, and he's like, and I knew we were going to win because we didn't promise those things, we didn't say those things, they were lies, and I knew God was on our side, I knew we were going to win, and then we lost, and we lost for a great big amount of money, which basically made them have to sell off Big
Everything.
Idea and or VeggieTales and stuff. And his point was, when God gives you a dream and then God takes away that dream, what do you do? And I think he kind of, it's been a while, but I think he's kind of alluding to the fact that let's be careful that dream doesn't take God's place.
Yeah.
Because hey, especially when people, when people are whispering in your ear, hey, this is going to be the next Disney. This is huge. This is awesome. And
Yeah, how do you ignore that?
right, it's and so and again, I mean, I encourage people to go. Again, I can't really remember his name, but look it up and look up his testimony of, and there's some videos out there of kind of going through that. And but I think that's the thing is like God can give us good gifts, and sometimes if we're not careful, those good gifts can become idols, and then now it's we're sinning, right? We're worshiping not God, but the not the creator, but the creation. We're worshiping these gifts. And I think so much of like Gideon, and I love the story of Gideon in the Bible, and there's great victory in it. But then, after the victory, they make a golden ephod, which is kind of like this fancy dressy thing for a priest or whatever to wear. And the Bible says, and they basically turned it into an idol, and it caused them to stumble in many ways. It caused Gideon us to stumble because of this. When God had given them the victory, and here are the spoils which God has given them of the victory, and then they take those spoils and create an idol. I think about how I was in high school, and I always, and there's still, if I'm honest, there's still that part of my brain that wants to. And it's probably foolishness to a lot of people, wouldn't mean anything. I've always wanted to be able to bench 300 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, and I got in my mind that is, no one that I know doesn't go, oh, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that was how I know I would have made it. That's how I know that I'm strong, all these things. And the last game of my junior year, I hurt my wrist.
Oh, dude.
And the most I've ever pressed up was like 225. And the last time I tried to press up 225 and this is as an adult, my wrist felt like it was about to explode. It was like, nope.
Yeah.
And on some level, I go, that was you, right? Because you knew I'd be cocky about that. You knew I'd be airy about it. And you knew too, it wouldn't fulfill me the way that I think it would.
Yeah.
But there's still that part of me. Again, I said, like as an adult. So I'm like, okay, maybe now I'll be able to do this. And, hit 225, got back to the point where I could hit 225 up. And when I did, it's just the pressure. And that old injury was just like, and I'm going, okay, you're never gonna let me get there, are you?
Right.
And if I'm honest, even I'm sitting here right now, I'm like, well, maybe. And it's, and it's, how is it ridiculous? As a 41-year-old guy, I'm like, I know, if I could just lift 300 pounds, if I could just bench 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And I have to go, why? Why do I want that?
I have thought
Why?
that Noah, listen to me. Brad, I've thought that same thing. Like,
You've
why is
thought,
it?
why does Brad
Why
want to
does
lift
Brad
bench
want to
300?
bench 300 pounds? Like, why is it that? Why is it that I feel like I need to be validated by not just thousands and thousands of people, but also by the level of musicians that I would be playing with in front of that size audience? And to be quite honest, all right, Brad, I'm about to put myself on the couch here.
Yeah.
You got your pen and paper. I
Always, yeah.
think, always, yeah.
A nice orange pen.
I think the reason that I feel like I want that validation is because deep down, I refuse to believe that I would be any good as a musician unless I'm able to play side by side with those guys. I think that's what it is. And I and so that's a confidence issue. That's a
It's a standard that I don't believe that I can actually meet until I see it. You know what I mean?
And I think too that again that God loves us and He's a good father, and He knows if that's going to be something that's bad for us. And He knows too that it's not going to fulfill us in the way that we think. I mean, we can make that with money all day long. And again, we have to have money, on some level to survive. We got to pay our bills. We got to eat. Money is the system that we do. But I think, a lot of us would go, if I just had more money. But you want to hear from rich people when I've read about it, like people like Rockefeller and all that. It's like, I think it was Rockefeller, whom somebody said, how much is enough? And he said, just one more dollar. It may not have been Rockefeller, but you can probably search it up. But anyway, one of those really rich, barren guys, and two, some of them who just had, really had a change of heart because they got money, and they realized that that money was just really controlling them, and that's where some of them turned in some amazing philanthropists and started just spending and giving and supporting. I like what Jim Carrey said, and I think it goes along with this. I think everybody should get rich and famous
I
and do
love this
everything they
quote.
ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer.
I love that quote, dude. I love that quote from Jim Carrey.
Because, and I think that's the reality. If God gave us the desire of our heart outside of Him, we would realize it didn't fulfill me.
And so,
Didn't do what
like
I thought it would do.
one of the
It
things,
was cool
Brad,
for a minute, but then something else was there.
one of the things that's really hard, I think, to convey to people about God's love is this very conversation of, so do you know how much God loves you? He is willing to change your heart and change the things that you want to the things that He wants. Like, and I understand fully that what I just said and the way that I just said it makes it sound like God is the enemy. Like, why is it okay that He changes what I want to what He wants and I should be okay with that? Because last I checked, I didn't create the universe. Last I checked, I am not perfect love. And last I checked, the joy that I get when I teach students, I honestly think, and I'm going to say this for the first time in my like vocalizing this, I honestly think that the joy that I get from teaching my students would surpass the joy that I would get from playing for thousands of people. I honestly
And
believe that.
it's again, it's for me, it's the junk food versus steak kind of argument that junk food never satiates me. I can eat it and eat it and eat it until I get sick. But if I go out and have a good steak, I don't want to eat anything else.
I don't want dessert. Dude, that's a solid word, 'cause like I'm like you. If I get a New York strip, medium rare, 16-ounce with a side or two, some bread, like just a typical steakhouse meal, I don't ever order dessert because I don't want it. I'm way too full, but I have been satisfied. You're, dude, that's a good word, man.
And I think that the things of God, when we delight in the Lord and the gifts that He gives, and we receive those things in thanksgiving, and that's what we're getting a steak. And so sometimes we're going, God, why won't you give me the Reese cups? Is it because I got a steak for you? And the reality is, I want the Reese cups until I've had the steak. And now I don't. But if I have the Reese cup, I just want more Reese cup, more Reese cup. It's just more, 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 more. And I think that's it. There's the quote that says the two greatest times in a man's life is when he's born and the day he finds out why.
See, I've heard it. I've heard it that the two greatest days in a man's life is the day he buys a boat and the day he sells a boat.
That's probably true too. I'll let you know about the latter part.
Yeah, right.
I think I would add that more the three, the day he's born again.
Yeah, right.
And maybe that's part of that is that he's finding out why in that second one. But
Right. Yeah.
I think when we acknowledge that God is our creator and he's made us and he is good and he's
Right.
made us for good and for good things. He's given us things to enjoy.
Yeah.
He's made steak taste good. He's made the sunshine on a cold, day just warm us up. There's so many good gifts. What hugs feel good. Like he's the author of all these things.
Right.
So one of the things I think of is, and I've said this before, the more I lose myself in Jesus, the more I find out who I really am. So I didn't lose who I was.
Right.
Actually, I gained more of who I was, understood more of who I was, that he has made me to know him, the author of love and of good and of who has no darkness, who there is no shifting shadow. He's made me so that I could know him and he know me, and I, and give me the desire to live eternally with him, because he's the author of joy and happiness. So yeah, I certainly think if I got everything I want, that I would it would be horrible. And I see that, if I'm honest, sometimes in people's children who they never say no to,
Yeah.
because they're not the happiest kids, right? Our hearts, our humanity would lead us to believe that if we get everything we want, we'll be happy.
We'll be happy. But
But when I see kids that get everything they want, they're probably the least happy.
well,
What do you mean you got me a blue car? I wanted a red car.
yeah. I think, and I mean, we don't actually have time to chase it, but the false truth in if I get everything that I want, I'll be happy. The false truth is that the wanting will never stop, right? And with Jesus, the wanting still doesn't stop. I've heard it said, like with Jesus. Jesus will satisfy all of your desires, which I fully with which I fully believe, but it's almost sometimes stated in the context or in the way where it seems that the message being translated is that when you have Jesus, you won't want anything else.
Again, I think
Like,
it's back to that steak equation, right? If I
right.
go out tonight and have a good steak, I'm satisfied.
That's right.
When I wake up tomorrow and I start tomorrow, I'm not going, "Well, I ate steak yesterday, I'm fine."
It's exactly right. Yeah.
It's a new day, I need to eat again. And
That's
I think
right.
that's, when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." They'll be filled.
Yeah.
I think that's a picture. I think there's a reason, right, that he goes hunger and thirst, because look, I'm drinking water right now and it's good. But if I finish this water and I don't drink any for 3 days, guess what? It won't even take that long, but
Right, yeah.
I'm going to be dying and begging for water.
Right.
And I think I think that's part of the point that I see in that message is hunger and thirst after righteousness, and Jesus will satisfy you. And do it again tomorrow, and he'll satisfy you again.
Right.
And do it again the day after that, and he'll satisfy you again. And he'll, unlike the Reese cups and the gummy bears, which will never completely satiate you, he will do so again and again and again. So just like these desires of our heart that that would not be good for us, that are always going to, well, I need to be better. I need to do better. I need to make more. I need to have more. This, which is just going to make us want more. When we find that in Christ, it's going to make us want Him more. And then we can be satisfied over and over again. I mean, I don't know. That's what I think,
Yeah.
anyway.
No, you're exactly right.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right,
I don't hear that a lot.
listeners, thanks for hanging out. Oops, did you do that
Don't
again, Brad?
worry, I won't let it go to my head.
I will not let it go to my head. Listeners, thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for loving our show, for listening to the show, share our show, let people know that you listen to it, rate and review our show. That'll help other people that are scanning through think, ooh, lots of people listen to this, so maybe I should too. But you know what to do. Follow us on our Facebook group page. You can follow us on Instagram. Submit more songs that you would like to, for me to read dramatically. Submit memes that you would like to hear Brad riff off of. And if you want to even please give us ideas. And topics that you want to hear us discuss and talk about and wrestle with. Brad and I love doing this in real time. So there's not a lot of preparation that goes on, but it's not because we don't care. It's because we want you guys to experience the authentic process that everybody goes through when we think about these things. We'd like to give a shout out to Green Frog Coffee Company for coming alongside us and supporting our show. If you're in the West Tennessee area, you need to drop by and give them some business because they've got great coffee, great food, great people. And so, thank you so much, Green Frog, for supporting what we're doing. Beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy. You broke up there, Brad. I love you, buddy.
I love you too.
There we go.
Listeners. You just wanted to hear it twice.
Yeah, I did. That's exactly right. I heard it the first time. Listeners, we will catch you next time.
Go be his church.